Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and Anakin has turned to the dark side. The Star Wars movies, 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
I'm Mike Mitchell from Netflix.com/love.
And I'm Nick Weiger from Facebook.com/DoughboysPodcast.
Yeah, thanks guys for coming back, finishing out the week with us.
Of course. It's been quite a week.
Yes, it really has.
We'll finally pack up our stuff and move out of here as soon as we're done with this recording. I'm sorry, I know.
You can send us the bill for that, the damage.
Oh, right. Of course, yeah.
Mom always said, don't play ball in the house. Well, today we're here for minute 100. It's a momentous, the centennial mark here in our minuting.
It's spectacular.
It seems like a half hour at EA because you know that it's not over for you. But it is this is a big minute. I think it's a big minute.
So there's some revelations here.
One digit bigger than the last minute.
Revelations not for the audience, but for the characters.
Part of the issue with this movie. Yeah.
Minute 100, it starts with Obi-Wan telling Padme that Anakin has turned to the dark side, as I just said. And then it ends with Obi-Wan telling Padme that he says to Padme, I'm blank. And we'll find out what he is on Monday.
Ooh.
I'm thinking, I'm a little teapot.
The walrus.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm Darth Vader.
Oh.
That would be quite a twist.
I am your father.
Yeah, I'm your father. There you go. Well, speaking of revelations, we got a new Padme outfit here, which is called the Revelation Dress.
Is it really?
So do you think she knew she was going to be getting a revelation? So she's like, I should definitely be wearing my revelation dress.
I'd best put on my revelation dress. it doesn't seem like there are really official names for most of these outfits, and so it's just kind of what the...
Is this different than the one she was wearing in the Senate, I guess?
Yeah, definitely.
She's got kind of this headgear she's got. It's kind of like a bicycle helmet where the slots are really wide. It doesn't seem like it would offer that much protection, but it's kind of the same sort of shape.
She's probably going to go biking right after this.
I think so, yeah.
She does live very high up on a balcony with no railings, so maybe that's just for safety.
Yeah.
Here she comes out like, oh, Obi-Wan, good to see you. Here, put this on.
That's the first thing that we get a good establishing shot of that balcony, that beautiful balcony.
Yeah, you get that Coruscant skyline in the background with all
which
those.
Which I think is very cool.
It is very cool.
It's a
cool
background. I have an issue with the Coruscant skyline.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, we've seen the same skyline all throughout the same sort of cars zooming around the city and stuff. Shouldn't there be some sense of like, oh my God, things have really turned upside down around here?
Because
there should be everyone's in martial law or like banners up with Palpatine's face, something to indicate that things are not the same as they were.
Yeah, it kind of looks like business as usual right now.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's Coruscant, though. You know, I'm sure they just kind of keep going with whatever. They're like, oh, yeah, no. Well, Empire? Great.
I know realistically, but in the sense of the movie, it would, because this is a very dull visual scene. They're just kind of sitting there, blah, blah, blah. More scenes of people talking on a couch together.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how, because this is part of the issue, is that, with streets, if the streets are empty and you're just sort of seeing, like, you know, like a handful of tanks and military vehicles patrolling them, you're kind of like, oh, okay, I see what's going on. I'm not sure how you quite convey that in 3D space, where you kind of don't have, like, real estate, like clear roads and clear path, like you right. kind of have paths of travel, but they're sort of abstract.
Well, even if there were no cars, and then
yeah.
it was like, oh, how did you get out from your, you know,
right?
How did you not right. get caught by
the
police?
Once in a while, I'll have like a clone trooper transport go.
Oh,
on, like,
that yeah. would there you go.
Sirens yeah. should right. be going.
There you go. Yeah. That would
looking
convey
for
it.
Jedi. They're hunting yeah. the Jedi. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trying to overthrow the government. Anyway, moving on.
I gotta say this. Well, I like the city. I like how the city looks. I get what you're saying mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, but I've just been looking at that city for like a for like 100 minutes, yeah.
right? So,
for 4 months. So
I feel like yeah. For me, I'm like, hey, this is new.
Yeah,
I'm just looking at this for, yeah. like, for a while. I feel like Obi-Wan Ewan. I feel like he really goes at it in this. I feel like he really gives it his all in this scene.
Yeah, for having to deliver a line as clumsy as
a line that I laughed out loud at.
Yeah, I saw a security hologram.
Like the most
it's
heartbreaking
really
thing
awkward.
Of, like, yeah. I saw a security hologram of like Anakin killing the younglings or
yeah.
whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just like what?
High degree of difficulty in making that have emotional resonance. Yes. Yeah, kind of
yeah.
does
well,
it.
Yeah. Tarrin is totally a soap opera because yeah, he
right.
does a little like put his hand over his mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, no, I don't believe you. And you know, it should totally. We should have watched that with the you know high frame rate on or something.
The organ. Dur, dur, right. dur. Yeah. Like they haven't done that on soap operas for probably 50 years.
Hey, you know what? Taking conventions from 50 years ago didn't stop Lucas in the prequels. Yeah, I mean, he was reusing shots from the Searchers.
Hey, I like some of them. Yeah,
I like it too.
What do you think of, what's his name? Dexter Jetsetter? Is that him?
Dexter Jetster?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dexter Jetser. Was that it?
Sir. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, God. I won't even try it again, but. Do you like his? Are you a fan of his diner or no?
I mean, it's kind of out of place.
Is that one
a little
of the worst
bit.
Things in the prequels. It's up there.
It's kind of silly.
He's become my favorite character in Attack of the Clones. favorite new character in Attack
wow.
of the Clones.
Wow,
really? Well, aren't that many new characters?
Yeah,
but he's just so goofy. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's, you know.
That's what. Yeah, I don't. I hate it.
You hate the diner or you hate Dexter?
Probably both.
I would probably be fine with him if he wasn't so clearly an analog for a guy working at a 50s malt shop.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
that's kind of silly that it's just so one-to-one. And I think if it was more sort of like, oh, this is a place where, in the same way the cantina doesn't feel like a sports bar, that doesn't just feel like you're like, you know, this is Buffalo Wild Wings.
I think that's a thing that Lucas is usually good at, too.
Yeah, like, usually he's like good at inventing something. Foreign or something that feels like alien or from another galaxy, and that just feels so clearly it's just a 50s diner with aliens in it.
Yeah,
I feel like he knew this was going to be his last movie directing.
Sure.
So he kind of was like, farewell to American Graffiti. You
know
what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
I really think that that's part of it. That it's
yeah, it could have
like
been
his last.
There's like a robot that's basically like, what do you want? Toots?
Yeah.
Like, well, not
yeah.
toots, but like
the sassy
like
robot waitress who is named Flo.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's well, I'm so glad we're not in that movie anymore.
Looking back,
that was a low spot for the show. But now we're through it.
Yes, totally.
But he's usually pretty good at that. He's usually pretty good at the like you said, it's not as one-to-one or...
I think he's... I mean, he's a very inventive mind, you gotta say, generally.
But this does look very much... We mentioned a little bit of Vegas in the last episode, but this... feels like one of like if you went to like one of the nice suites in Vegas,
right?
It feels like what it would look like.
Right.
It's kind of like she lives in a gentrified part of Coruscant where they've like put up those new those new condos that go up and they just sort of like they raise these historic buildings and they put up these new generic looking condos that look the same whether you're in Philadelphia or Seattle or LA. They just that seems like the kind of area she's in and that seems like the kind of living quarters she has.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that seems like the kind of insensitivity she would exhibit.
right.
Caring about. Yeah. She hated the Gungans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe she's not, I don't know. Again, that's a whole, you could tell the story from a different point of view.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The other thing that kind of annoys me about the scene, and I kind of talked about it earlier in the movie, but like Padme is supposed to be a senator heavily involved in galactic politics.
Sure.
And she's just kind of like waiting around. Like, she's not like trying to organize people or talk to contacts. She's just kind of waiting around for Anakin. And
she's like, well, I voted. And now that's it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, cast my vote in
you
the.
You heard,
Liz
died. That's it.
It's yeah.
Done.
Yeah. So she's quit by now. She's like, eh.
Right, you would think she would be leading some sort of, you know, rival faction to sort of
packing up to go.
Yeah, exactly. Or recognizing that now is the time for exile. But yeah, she's just sort of there hanging out, which is weird. It's a weird choice.
How pregnant is she right now?
8.5 months. She gives birth in like 3 days.
Yeah.
Does she? She doesn't look very pregnant, right?
More so than she had before, because
she looks less pregnant as the movie goes
on. Right. Like, no, it's a weird, like, she had a big kind of, you know, a couple of big, when she was, you know, I guess the conceit is that she wasn't expecting Obi-Wan to show up, so she didn't have time to kind of put on the big kind of tent dress, the very concealing kind of, you know, velvety robes that she's been wearing.
Right.
That's right. She doesn't want anyone to know that she...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. She should have been wearing, like, an old, like, you know, corporate event t-shirt and like sweatpants.
Yeah. She's wearing the t-shirt that she caught out of the gun in the Senate.
She's got twins in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're gonna show. I mean, there's no doubt you're showing.
Mm-hmm.
With a couple of twins?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And I don't know what I'm like.
I'm no pregnancy expert. I don't know. She's got a lean frame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It could be.
It's a different galaxy.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe their rules are a little different. All right, how many pregnant characters have we seen actually on screen? Not many. Not any.
In movies altogether?
No, in the Star Wars. In the Star Wars movies.
And also the follow up in movies altogether.
Yeah.
Well, there is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. That's one.
Marge Gunderson.
Gunderson and Fargo. And then Amidala. Yeah, so I guess it's those three. We've seen it three times. Uh-huh. She does seem like the least pregnant of those, so that's a fair point.
There you go. Does William Hurt. Who's the other Hurt?
John?
John Hurt.
Does John Hurt in Alien count as one of the pregnancies?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that counts. Yeah.
That counts.
Okay. All right.
Fair enough. All right, then. I guess that'll wrap
it up. That wraps up the minute.
But yeah, so the way that this scene is all exposition, pretty much, as we said, it's just kind of like, you know, dropping exposition on Padme, kind of filling her in on what Obi-Wan has pieced together about the whole plot. In my head, I was like, well, what? I think then you could easily skip Attack of the Clones. And this could be, you know, me wishful thinking. But I think you could, based on this exposition and the stuff that happens earlier and later in the movie, I think if you just watch The Phantom Menace and then watch this, you'd be okay. And you'd have to just connect a couple of dots. But they're like, I couldn't think of anything that happens in Attack of the Clones that is vital, that the information is not imparted.
I guess just kind of maybe the sort of love story for whatever it's worth. But yeah, I mean, it's not super important. And I guess some context for who Count Dooku is, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. But you could probably skip these.
You need that at this point too, right?
Like, yeah. Okay. You could probably. You're right. I think you could watch episode one and then watch episode three and not be lost. I think it would just sort of flow. Interesting that you mentioned that. I had a friend at school growing up who... His family, for some reason, only had Star Wars and Return of the Jedi on video and did not have Empire Strikes Back. And he, until he was like in seventh grade, didn't know there was a second movie in between them. Wow. So he watched Star Wars and then went straight to Return of the Jedi, and he thought there were just those two Star Wars movies.
Wow.
Never got like the Luke, I Am Your Father, never saw the Luke's Training with Yoda, never got it. Just was like, oh, okay, that's how these movies are, and just had a kid brain and just thought that's what it was. And then he later watched Empire Strikes Back.
One of your best friends was the town fool.
Amish child.
Yeah.
That's an interesting jump.
Yeah, it was weird.
Because then, like, what, like, how does that revelation of Darth Vader being the father, like, how does that work out? Like, you just hear it.
Like, is Darth Vader my father?
Yeah, like,
yeah. You just
asked
that out of
the blue. I wish I could selectively, temporarily erase my brain.
Right.
And just like experience that. Like, oh, wow.
So to him, Luke has great intuition or something.
Yeah.
Right. Empire Strikes Back was basically like Rogue One. Like,
yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Han Solo got in
the car. Wow. This really solves a lot of problems.
Yeah, a lot of plot holes in Return of the Jedi.
Right. Just patches them up perfectly, too. Yeah. Boy, they did a great job of retconning that.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by this idea of skipping Attack of the Clones. I think probably the only real important thing is about the commissioning the army, because you wouldn't know where the clones came from.
You don't have to. It's not
that's true.
Where they came from doesn't matter as much as you just know that, okay, well, you know, in the intervening years, you know, even from the opening crew, it's like, well, war, they're at war. Okay, well, if they're at war, they need an army. They got an army.
You ready for some Attack of the Clones defending?
Sure.
I don't think it's as bad. I rewatched Attack of the Clones and I didn't think it was as bad. I know that it's not a great movie.
Yeah.
But there's just stuff in it, like Kamino, right? Is with the, like, the aliens.
That's
Kamino,
a cool environment.
Yeah. Cool environment. Cool fight happens there. Cool idea for aliens.
Right.
And then also, what's the planet? Well, God, I just had it in my head a second.
Geonosis.
The bugs on Geonosis are cool. Mm-hmm. The pit in the what's it called?
The
Colosseum, the arena is in Geonosis. That's cool. That's a cool battle. Those bugs are cool. The stuff that happens in the factory is a little like
terrible.
It's a little there's bad stuff that happens there, but there's also fun. It's like a mix of like bad and good.
It's like a kind of a Harold Lloyd short. Yeah.
Yeah. The C-3PO stuff in that moment is not great. It's a little. It's over the top.
Yeah.
But I was just saying how like one of my complaints about the Disney Star Wars. It's just like the fact that there aren't as many aliens and creatures. You know,
sure.
Like, and in Agreed. Attack of the Clones, you see like a few different like races of aliens.
Oh, you get a ton of creatures.
You get a ton of creatures, and it's cool. Yeah. And there's some bad stuff. But then don't we end it with the Yoda and Dooku battle in Attack of the Clones?
That's a pretty insane
fight. Damn,
that's
good. There's some good stuff going on in that movie.
Yeah.
I never want to argue with someone about why they shouldn't like something. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Well, you're very different from Mitch, who has yelled at me for a year because I don't like...
The reason I yell at you for that is because...
Force Awakens.
Because I know the truth with you.
I like Force Awakens and I like Last Jedi.
Then, but I've heard you say that you want to kill J.J. Abrams and say you didn't like...
I had a negative reaction my first viewing. I returned to it and I enjoyed the movie. I explained my reasoning. Like, you don't believe me because I disagree with you.
Sometimes you want to win people over by saying...
I'm not trying to win anyone over.
But also, can I also say that you just don't like too much of stuff anyways?
I guess I'm something of a cynic.
Yeah,
but I don't think
you like love to go and see a movie. I mean, you go and see a movie, but you know what I'm saying. You're not too passionate about some movie. I'm trying to say this.
But I do love Star Wars.
Yes,
okay, I do love Star Wars, and I want to like every Star Wars. And you know,
I
do want to like every Star. You do too. You want to go into these movies. You want them to be good.
I want them to be good.
And I for the same reason that you know at one point I was at one point. You know, and I'm not to make this all, all about me. But I was at one point a prequel hater, and then came around to a guy who was like, you know what? The prequels are not great, but I view them the same way that I view the Hobbit movies, and that they're like these Hobbit are maybe movies. Unnecessary. But the Hobbit movies, they're unnecessary, but there are moments about it that are fun and watchable. And that, I guess
the barrel.
Yeah, the barrel chase is great. So in that sense, I'm glad they exist because they just fill out this cool universe a little bit.
Okay.
Even if they're flawed.
All right.
But anyway,
I'm gonna let you like them. I won't attack you for it anymore.
All right.
We're just having fun.
You are totally going to keep attacking me for it.
As soon as we walk out the door, you're just going to attack
me. You know what? We're not having fun.
I'm having a great time.
No, I mean when you and I fight about it.
Right, no. it is really like, we talked about his acting a little bit, and just like, I just wanted to get this still, because it is such a kind of a broad choice for really like the best acting performance of these movies, when he's like bringing his hand to his mouth to cover his beard when he's thinking about the killing of the younglings.
Yeah.
It's really, he's really, I guess, just trying to sell it as much as possible.
Ooh, and he's really selling it at this point.
Somebody's got to sell
and
it.
Yes.
I mean, and this, it's so, I don't know, like this should be an iconic scene that everybody like looks back on, because it's, you know, basically in their prime, it's Ewan McGregor and Natalie Portman, who are actors who, you know,
storied careers,
are good.
They're good
at acting. They're people who were like in multiple things, you know, it's not like they're a flash in the pan. Like they were, And so this whole scene kind of should be one of those things that we look at, and it's almost, you know, it's got elements of it that it's like, this is like, I see what they're going for. It's great, you know, for what we've had before. It's kind of a step up, but it's also still like things are a little bit too, again, soap opera-y or kind of hammy, like not hammy, but
sure.
There's too much exposition. The audience knows every single thing they say, so they should have cut some of that stuff out a bit.
The biggest issues, even with all the prequels, is building these stories backwards, and we know where this all goes to. And just like even here, I feel like even just hearing like they're going to make like prequels, and then you're like, it's about like Anakin Skywalker who became Darth Vader, and you're like, oh cool, so we'll find out how he became Darth Vader. And so then when you like you meet Anakin and he meets Padme, and then you're like, she's gonna find out that he's Darth Vader at one point. She's probably gonna be the father, and like when they're falling in love, she's gonna be the mother of the children. So there's not much that you don't know. And then also to then release that information with like, I saw the hologram. Like, I saw
They're talking about having seen, like, on. So it's like, it's so far removed from action. It's like, they're sitting there. We're watching them talking about something that he watched on video.
Right.
That then, you know.
And also, hologram. We don't have this that's established in the Star Wars universe that hologram video can be transmitted other places, that it can be, that you can, you know, you can take it on something portable and show it to somebody else. Like, why does this have to be two scenes where we have a scene where he's watching it with Yoda, and then he goes to report back to Padme? Like, why couldn't it just be one scene where he's taking this hologram with, and they're gonna watch it together, if that's even how we want this information to be revealed?
It'd be so much stronger if he was like,
they're both processing
Anakin,
it once,
even though we know this anyways, we know all of it, but Anakin is Darth Vader. There's no information that we get in this scene, but it's like Anakin is Darth Vader, and her, or like, you know, is a Sith. Just that info and not the other stuff, then I think it maybe would have been more effective.
But. Right.
Yeah, also one of the information that Obi-Wan conveys is that the Palpatine was behind the war.
Right.
And I don't know how he knows that. Was there footage of Palpatine going, Edmund, I plan to have two wars coming to fruition?
I don't know. There's a lot of information that's getting into the hands of, like, for all the exposition and people handing each other information, like, they're keep, like, why do they know that he's Darth Sidious? And why, like, how do they know that he's behind the war? Like, all this stuff, that is stuff that kind of, like, would have been interesting to see them. How do they find that out? But we don't get to see it.
Yeah.
Instead, we get them telling each other stuff that we all already know.
Yeah.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS, or play online via Facebook games.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, that Revelation dress, it looks pretty sharp.
It's stunning, yeah.
Do you have any particular favorite Padme outfits?
Boy, I mean, I got to go back with Phantom Menace. Just like the full, all the garments, just like totally going for it with all the makeup. Just when she looked her most outlandish, I feel like that was the...
I agree with you there. I think that's a good outfit.
I mean, her wardrobe throughout is interesting. Like, they make some very interesting choices with her costume.
She does a good job. She's I feel
she cleans up nice.
She cleans up nice, yes, of course. She's a very attractive person, as are everyone in the films. Mm-hmm. Even Yaddle and Yoda. And
right.
The rest.
Dexter Jetster,
mm-hmm. I also think is good.
Walrus Man.
The bugs on Geonosis. They're all very attractive.
They're all very good-looking people. but I feel like they're. I also when you get to see her being kind of like in the trenches, Padme is fun too. When she's like
mm-hmm. The arena battle.
Yes,
white, the skin tight leotard.
Yes, you know what? I wasn't trying to say that, but like when you see her out of her royalty garb,
right.
Then I feel like that's kind of cool stuff too, because it feels more Star Warsy.
Right.
Yeah. It's like Princess Leia taking the gun and you know somebody's got to save our skin.
Yeah. Yes,
like
exactly.
That
yes,
kind of turned into an outfit.
Yeah.
But you know, going back to that, and you know we have again talking about revelations that the audience gets, and that there are revelations to the characters but not to the audience. I mean, the wardrobe of and makeup of Padme / Amidala is like, that's like a symptomatic of that, where like there was a way they maybe could have done that where you don't know that Padme, you understand that Natalie Portman is playing this character Padme, but you don't actually know that she's Amidala until she reveals that to the Gungans. But they just ended up not doing it that way, and so when that actually happens, it's sort of like kind of a miss.
They have her the stand-in.
They have her bodyguards and everything. But I mean, they could. There's a world where they could have tried to make it work where you don't actually know that as an audience member. You don't pick up on that until it's actually revealed.
Like until she says.
Yeah, until she says it, and then you sort of make that connection.
Oh wow, a queen. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Yeah.
I don't know.
And with Palpatine Sidious, too. There's a way to kind of play it where it's just like, oh, everybody's being controlled by this Phantom Menace, that you don't see that it's Ian McDiarmid, you don't know. And then as it kind of builds up, you're like, oh, that's the Emperor from the Return of the Jedi.
Will say, though, my dad did not get that. He did not get the Palpatine Sidious until it was revealed. And he was like, what? Like,
Yeah. Maybe we were just too close to the whole thing.
Yeah.
That is a funny thing. I'm trying to think of, like, how long it took me to figure that out as a kid. And I'm like, now that, you know, almost 20 years have passed, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I feel like it's something I just always knew.
Yeah.
But they don't try to hide it.
Sure.
Like, they could have tried to hide it a little bit more and maybe shown less of them. I don't know. There's ways to do it, but does it ruin it that we knew that information? I don't know.
I don't think that's the only problem.
Yeah.
That's
the only problem for sure.
Hey, you know what?
What?
This scene,
that's what
is not a lot going on. That's basically what it comes down to. That's why we're on so many tangents. There's just not much happening here.
It's a lot of repeat information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much, you know, we've pretty much covered it all. Do you guys have any other anything at all to chip in?
Any other Star Wars thoughts at all?
Yeah.
Solo. Gonna be good.
Do you want to go ahead and give your what you thought of it? You want to say?
Oh yes. Right, Solo. 99% on my Rotten Tomatoes. That's my score.
My prediction is that Solo is maybe the one where we're starting to get, and other people have thought this too. This is an original idea. But I think that we might start to see some people getting tired of Star Wars. I think there
a little fatigue.
A little Star Wars fatigue might start happening.
Interesting.
It's possible.
I think it's got to start happening at some point.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that because this is my part of my suspicion is that because there's that buzz, I think this one's going to actually exceed expectations and people are going to be like, oh, wow, you know what? This ended up being really good.
Yeah. And there's buzz that it's not great, right?
Like, right.
That it was
a troubled shoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the idea of someone listening to this in the future when there's nothing but Star Wars movies. Yeah. The idea that someone could get sick of
Star Wars. Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like my thing with Solo is just watching the trailer for it. I'm like, oh, that kid. What's his name? I don't remember his name. The actor who's playing
Hayden something.
Yeah,
Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen. Yeah. I feel like that Junior kid is just like so not Han Solo, it's like because you're watching this thing, it's like, oh, he's like a young Solo, and then I'm like, oh, he's like not that much younger than Harrison Ford was when he played Han Solo,
right?
He's like a few years younger, maybe,
yeah.
And it's that sort of thing where I'm just like, oh, like just seeing him deliver one line, it does not. He kind of looks like him, but he doesn't like have that attitude.
Yeah.
Which I almost feel like I would have even rather just had a guy who's like, oh, this guy feels like Han Solo, but doesn't look as much like him. But like, you can like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. It's just a hard ask for an actor.
Yeah. Of course, I'm not. You know, it's tough. That's not his fault.
Hard shoes to step into.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hard shoes.
A hard vest to fill.
Yeah, yes. There you go. There
hard you dice go. to hold.
Oh, Jesus, the dice. I can't get into the dice, but you know what I'm going to say, Nick?
Yeah.
I hope it's good, just like I hope all of them are good.
There you go. That's a good attitude.
We want to like them.
Like yeah. Well, thanks, guys, for being on this whole week.
Of course.
Thank you.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big commitment.
Yeah.
We took a chunk out of every day of this week. Yeah. But we're happy to do it.
Here for the whole time.
Yeah. It's, you know,
you made understand when they made Mitch cook meals show. For you. It was weird.
Well, my mom was supposed to come this week. She came to LA. I sent her back to Boston.
Can't. Star Wars Minute is here.
She understood. She's like, oh, okay.
But a lot of fun. And what you guys do is admirable. it's just like the dedication to Star Wars is. We're Mitch and I are both fans and very impressed by what you do.
Agreed.
So thank you very much for having us on.
Yes,
oh, well, thank you for having us here, and thank you, listener, for listening. Assuming you are, and if you aren't, then you can't. What? But if you want more Star Wars Minute, there's this weekend there'll be a Star Wars Minute Weekend Edition, which you can access if you support us on Patreon. Go to StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon, and there for a low recurring donation, you can get access to that feed and all kinds of other fun stuff. And then we'll see you back here on Monday with a brand new episode of Star Wars
Minute.